Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
He's definitely improved. I mean, Kellen's come a long way from when we first got here in the spring. And as far as the urgency with his drops, the footwork, being able to get through those progressions like we talked about, he's very diligent in his preparation, and he studies it, he knows it, and it's just a matter of taking that knowledge that he's got and just continuing to, show it out here on the field.
Welcome in Purple Daily. That was offensive coordinator Wes Phillips talking about the progress of quarterback Kellen Mond. If the screen looks like it's not exactly full with the entire cast, Phil Mackey has been in and out of meetings this week in Chicago, Illinois. He should be, I believe, will be back at full strength. That's debatable on Friday and then next week. So the uncertainty about who's going to be appearing on this show at times will end on Friday. But Declan Goff, we had the first of two joint practices today at TCO Performance Center, sold out, absolutely packed. Brad Childress stopped by.
Saw that.
Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan's old man, coach of the 49ers, stopped by.
Wow.
A lot of dignitaries. And
Boone.
Yes. Jeremiah Searles.
Jesse Pierce.
Jesse Pierce was there. Exactly right. Who is now, of course, on the with Thor Nystrom Before I Die podcast that you can find on Score North channels. Yes, it was a who's who of sports royalty, my good man. Lot to get to, though, because joint practices mean competition. Joint practices mean football-y football. And joint practices mean we get answers. We get answers to what's going on, and we get them at, I would say, a higher speed than we get when the team is just in its own bubble in training camp practice. So are you ready?
I'm ready, man. I got.
Are you
ready?
Judd's talking points off of what he saw today.
So these are talking points. These aren't notes.
Well, they could be notes.
Observations.
Yeah, they're. Well, it's. You know what? I'd go with this word. I think it's one word. Hodgepodge. Okay. It might be two words. Hodgepodge.
My father used that one a lot.
It's a good old school word, but it's a hodgepodge. It's not. It's some observations. It's some notes. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different tentacles that I'm about to bring to the show, and so I would call it a hodgepodge.
Hodgepodge. Judd's
and
hodgepodge.
If you can spell that, stick that on the graphic. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's start with this one. Kirk Cousins, who missed. So he went home sick with COVID, I believe, on Thursday. Didn't practice Thursday. Didn't take part in what was essentially a preparation for the Raiders walkthrough on Friday. Team traveled on Saturday. He missed the game, obviously, on Sunday. But that being said, I don't think he was going to play. And then they didn't practice Monday, and they were given Tuesday off. So, as Kirk himself said, I guess if I was going to get sick, this was a good time because he didn't miss a ton of time. He came back today, participated fully in practice. He and Justin Jefferson continue to click. And this is the nice thing about this is the team drills, which if you're looking for highlights, so it's really weird. So the Vikings prohibit, through their coaching staff, us from giving highlights once the 7-on-7 drill start.
Okay.
So like Score North and my own feed on Twitter have some individual stuff, which means like Vikings receivers against Niners cornerbacks. Okay. But if you want to go search for this, you can find, it looks like the San Francisco reporters didn't have to adhere or didn't.
Oh, okay.
So like you can go find some good team stuff.
Classic Bay Area ignorance and kind
of. Well, or just being smart. But anyway, go there to find like team drills and stuff because it's fun. It's fun to watch to get a glimpse of some things, including this. Justin Jefferson and Cousins continue to click. They continue to look good. Cousins did throw one pass that was picked off by San Francisco defensive back George Odom, but I want to talk about it because it was sort of an interesting little play. And it's a play that I think we're going to just see a ton of. The pass was not great, but the pass itself is a very reliable pass ordinarily, and I think especially from Kirk. It was a short pass to Dalvin Cook, who was split out. So he was not lined up in the backfield, and we're going to see this a lot. Now O'Connell wasn't too happy in the spring at the I think it was it minicamp or an OTA that was closed to fans. And somebody wrote about the fact that Dalvin Cook was split out, which he's going to be quite a bit. While you don't want to see a pick thrown, you know, this again, we're getting at what we're going to see here, which is a lot of Jefferson. I think Dalvin Cook's going to see the ball a ton via the air. I also want to take you down another path here. And we can certainly revisit this when Phil returns to the show. But I want to take you down another path, Dex, about the running backs as receivers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this. Dalvin Cook can catch. And Dalvin Cook, I think, is going to be... I think if he stays healthy, this is going to be as close this season to Alvin Kamara as he can get. Like, he's not the same player. But he can definitely catch more than he's ordinarily, I think, in this offense, gotten the ball thrown to him. We have seen Wongwu can catch, and he can definitely, he's a guy, football-wise, if you get him in space, right? If you get him in space, he can do special things. Ty Chandler, I think, again, and I don't know if he's great at catching the ball, but I think he is pretty good at it. And again, he's because of his speed, if you get him in space. You know, Phil has been talking about the possibility of, could they look to make a deal and trade pending free agent after 2022, Alexander Mattison? And you know what hit me today that might be intriguing about that? I wonder if his skill set is going, if Madison's skill set is going to fit this offense as well as like Cook does, Chandler does, Wongwu does. So like instead of saying, well, he's just not going to play a lot unless Cook gets hurt, which of course you're afraid of, I wonder if internally there would be discussions about, you know what, this is the one guy whose skill set doesn't necessarily fit as well as the other three guys. So could there be a possibility that Madison, at least a potential trade, could be explored based on his skill set too? So not just, he's not going to play as much and we'd like to get something for him, as there are going to be definite chips and pieces of this offense that fit in it previously that probably won't be as good a fits in the O'Connell system. And I wonder if Madison will fall into that category just a little bit.
Well, I think it's fair to say that his skill set doesn't fit it. He's a solid running back and get you 4 yards and you need three. I don't think he's going to be someone that relied upon in the passing game a whole lot. You know, when he's been called upon for Dalvin Cook, when he's missed time, there's been games where Madison has played very well, but I wouldn't really call him an explosive player. He's kind of a traditional, one of those old school bell cow running backs. Hand him off in the single back or I formation, and yeah, he'll get you 3.5 to 4 yards. But I don't know what the market is for him. And my only disclaimer, if you're going to trade him, is if someone else becomes desperate. You know, they're not just going to give him away, and rightfully so, they shouldn't.
Yep.
But if someone loses their starting running back between now and the opening week of the season, that creates some desperation, and that's going to give some demand up for Alexander Madison's trade value. So I think that's still the scenario. I would be shocked if they just moved on from him for nothing.
Yes,
but you're right.
I agree with you.
You're right in that his skill set, I don't think, really fits what the new running back wants to do, and let alone what Kevin O'Connell and Wes Phillips want their running backs to do. With the fact Dalvin Cook is now splitting outside, the fact like guys like Kanaan Wongwu and Ty Chandler are getting out in space, you know, I was talking about this with Realistic Randy in this channel. You know, I was always a big, and so was Randy, a big Jerick McKinnon fan. I love Jerick McKinnon. I thought he was a nice at-bat that,
God, yeah.
Look, he's not going to bulldoze you at the line for a power run, but give the ball, give him some space with the football, and he's going to be able to create something out of things. And I think Nwangwu and Ty Chandler are part of that culture that can kind of create space in their own right. So, yeah, I think Madison probably still makes this roster, unless a team comes calling because they lost their running back.
Yes, yeah, I would agree completely. They are not going to waive him. He could be traded.
Yeah.
He is not going to be. And I don't think they're desperate to trade him. In 3 years, here are his targets and reception total, okay? His first year, targeted only 12 times, caught 10. His second year, targeted 15 times, caught 13. Now, last year, that spiked up to 39 targets, 32 catches, 228 yards, and one touchdown. That's not too bad. That's, you know, that speaks to the fact that he can catch the ball. I've been going through this and trying to, like, think of, there are definitely guys on both sides of the football who probably aren't going to fit into what the Vikings are going to do now, who were drafted and or signed previously by the Spielman-Zimmer administration, because they did what those guys desired at that time. So just a thought there.
Okay. I want to go back to something you said off the jump with Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson clicking here in the first part of practices. I think the story of, at least on social media from today's practice, was the Kirk Cousins "you bleeping like that" moment that took place on the field. I was wondering if you saw that and could, because there's no audio of this and there's no video, because at that portion, that no one was allowed to film and no one was allowed to hear it and see it. Everyone's been asking about it. Did you see this take place, and what caused the "you bleeping like that" moment? Do you know?
Yeah, it was early, so I did not hear him. I was down, so I was watching the drills, but I was down from where he was, and I'm pretty sure it happened on the same play that Thielen was complaining to an official on site, because for the second consecutive week, the Vikings, it looks like, have real officials who, my guess is, are going to work the game on Saturday. And Thielen didn't like the fact that he got hit, and so he was complaining, and that's what I could hear. But, yes, I was told from people that were far closer to Kirk than I was in watching that play that he 1,000% said, "you effing like that," which, you know, for Kirk, he doesn't use the F-bomb much. I was told Dad was there watching, so heard this.
Johnny.
So Don's probably praying right now for his son. But, so he definitely said, according to what I was told by reliable Vikings reporters, "you effing like that" to San Francisco. And I was also told today that when Kirk did his press conference first day back after being out with COVID, that he was sort of not in a great mood. And
he wasn't.
You know what? Dude might flat out not, you know, he might not feel great yet. Who knows? Or he might be mad because he thought he was going to get questions about COVID.
He was sort of just
not happy.
I watched the press conference when it was happening live on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, and it just he seemed a little deterred, I think is probably the right word. He just didn't seem.
But did someone ask a question that you?
No, Thomason asked him about, you know, what were your symptoms, and, you know, do you not feel great? And honestly, it wasn't a vindictive question, and I don't think Kirk took it to offense. You know, to your point, maybe he's still not feeling 100%. Maybe he's just annoyed.
Possible.
That this is still happening. A lot of people are still annoyed about that in the world. So I don't, it was weird. You know, Kirk will say a whole lot to say nothing. He did not say a whole lot to say nothing. He just basically said, it was a quick, it was like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, Kirk will be up there for 10 to 15 minutes and will pontificate as long as you want. But he said next to nothing. It was about as quiet as I've ever heard him.
Does the fact that Kirk definitely used very loudly an F-bomb make you like him more?
I mean, I love the vibrato. I love that he has the stones to say that kind of stuff. I want him to say that more. He's the corporate quarterback, dude. He has the tie, you know, completely up there in a nice Windsor knot, and doesn't really show much emotion. We're in a league where showing emotion's okay. All right, I'm almost 30 years old. It's okay that I see people younger than me showing some emotion. Kirk, good for you. I love that. I love that he did that.
I'd like to explain something real quick here about Kirk as well, because I think it's a question I've seen on Twitter, and I think it's important to clarify this, okay? Because I think that there's a surprise by some that a year ago, a guy like me was bugged by Kirk not being vaxxed and then was exposed. He did get COVID late in the season, but of course had to sit out 5 days in training camp because of exposure to it. And so, like, the question I've got is, well, now you're not saying much about it, okay? And I made this clear on Twitter, but I will make it clear on this show as well. Kirk's health was never my concern. Kirk's physical health was not I'm vexed. He's not. That's cool. The only thing I cared about was the league's mandate that he had to miss time. And was that going to cost him? And it did, being able to play in a key game. So that was the only, so, like, I think that there was a feeling that, like, we were taking the political, you know, vaxxed on, you know what? Politics, religion, vaccination, that's up to you. I don't care what you do. You shouldn't care what I do. But when it affects your job and you're paid millions,
yes,
and you play for a football team I cover, I'm going to rip you.
Yeah.
But this had nothing to do and has nothing to do with anything. Like, if he doesn't get sick, awesome. If he gets super sick, that's too bad. But it doesn't affect me.
Right.
So I just want to make this very, very clear. my sport stance has always been, how does it affect the sport? I see, like, I don't see athletes as like, oh, they're just like me. They're not just like me. They're paid millions of dollars.
They're not like us.
And so, but I felt like there was this pushback of, well, it's different now, huh? Yeah, it's different. The league basically doesn't care anymore.
Right.
So, like, it's very important for me to show the difference, though, in those two things, because this is not a political show.
It is. That's important to clarify. And
it never will be a political show.
And I agree with you fully there. Before you get to your next note here, Judd, I want to shout out my friends at Brainerd International Raceway. The Lucas Oil Nationals are happening this weekend, baby. That's right, August 18th to 21st. Get tickets. Gets you included with a pit pass. You're right out there. Nice. You like that? I do like that. I do bleeping like that. I like
you
that a lot.
You like that, Declan?
I do. So if you'd like to go up to Brainerd International Raceway, get your tickets now at BIRMN.com. That's BIRMN.com. Brainerd International Raceway, the Lucas Oil Nationals happening this weekend.
All right. Awesome. All right. From starting quarterback to backup quarterback competition. Kellen Mond coming off what was I would say solid performance in preseason game one. I'll say this slowly. He took the first reps with the second team throughout this practice. Sean Mannion then took the secondary reps with the second team. Wow. So to a large degree, they split reps. But here's the subtle difference, and we saw this at the night practice a week ago Monday, that's important. For the second time in this camp, they ran a two-minute drill at the end of practice. This was, of course, in the one, at least that I watched, it was Vikings offense versus San Francisco defense. Kirk Cousins ran the first one, which culminated in a Greg Joseph field goal. Kellen Mond ran the second one, made a couple of nice throws. That also culminated in a Joseph field goal, but Mannion did not run one. And so I would say that there is no question that Mond is pulling ahead in this race. Hmm. And I'm curious if Mannion now comes back and gets the reps and in the earlier reps that Mon got today, but I don't think there's any way that you could watch that game on Sunday and be like, yeah, we're leaning towards Mannion. And Sean was actually better today, but I still don't care about that. Yeah. But my sense is whatever the plan is, I don't think Mon is fighting for his job. I think Mannion is, and I don't think he's, you know, just my personal opinion, I don't think he's going to make it.
Well, good. I mean, Kellen Mond should have every opportunity to run all these two-minute drills and these situations. That's what these practices are for. I really think, and this isn't groundbreaking, but I think a lot of people kind of get confused, and fans who watch preseason football, you know, what am I watching? You know, I'm watching the games. I'm watching guys throw up big numbers. I'm watching Kellen Mond, and I look at the box score, and he has 116 passer rating. These joint practices are what really matters more. That's the thing I think I have gathered from covering football now, and talking about football in a while, and as I morphed out of more of a fan and as into this kind of role, talking to other people who cover football and people who are a lot smarter than me when it comes to this stuff, this practice stuff is a lot more important than what happens in a preseason game. So the fact that Kellen Mond is having those opportunities, I think, speaks volumes to your point. He probably is starting to pull ahead a little bit and starting to solidify himself as potentially the QB2 of the roster.
Exactly right. And so to that point as well, Declan, you know, Cousins practiced, Jefferson, Thielen, go down that entire list. There's a very good chance none of those guys are going to play Saturday. So you are right. Like they are, these two practices is where they're actively working on things that are going to be important. I'm not saying that the preseason games aren't, but these practices get physical to a certain degree at times. Yeah. But you know, there's not full tackling, right? Like Jefferson went down a couple of times and I'm like, oh no, but if you put him in a game, odds are that the contact and physical nature of that game are going to be potentially a lot more brutal. So yes, these practices are far more important towards getting your team ready for September 11th against the Packers than Saturday. And you're going to see in these practices a lot more players who down the road are going to matter, where I think Saturday, we're going to see the Mons for sure, but we're not going to see, I don't think, you know, Kirk and Harrison Smith, and you don't need to. I don't want to get him hurt, so.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I'm cool there. All right, we have some clarification on one of the few first-team battles. We have some clarification. But before we do that, I want to talk about a very important thing. I want to talk about my 40-pound loss, thanks to my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers. They, most importantly, are helping me to keep that weight off, too. And that's the important thing. I've said this 1,000 times, but it's worth repeating 1,001. We all have lost weight. If you are like me and you've battled the bulge, if you've battled the weight problems, we all have lost weight. But what do we fail to do? We fail to keep that weight off. And that is exactly what I've gotten help doing. And now I also want to tell you about teamwork in the Zolgad household, because Dawn came to me and she's like, you've lost all this weight. It's fantastic. I'd like to lose some too. As of yesterday, she's down 16 pounds.
We are nearing
a 60 pound loss in this household. And I want you to join us now. The anniversary sale. You can join the program 50% off. That's right. 50% off. 855 go LIVEA. Livia.com, LIVEA.com. I'll say it again. Get started now. Lose that weight. Fit into those clothes. 50% off. It's as easy as this. LIVEA.com. Love All right. It. I've got some clarification of a race that, you know what? Dex? I'm going to call it.
You're going to what?
I'm going to call it. Like a political.
Call us. I'll Steve Konecki. You know, we're looking here you again, and we're gonna see if these votes are coming in from over here. We're gonna look at Hennepin County. We're gonna look over there and like, see this going on.
Where are my charts? Okay, I'm calling the race at right guard. It's over.
Okay.
Ed Ingram took all of the snaps with the first team today. So he played Jesse Davis, the veteran that they signed from the Dolphins, started at right guard on Sunday, first team. Ingram came in then with the second team. Absolutely, by all accounts, outstanding. Today, and they had been previously the last week or so in practice, splitting reps. Today, Ed Ingram gets all of the reps with the ones. Davis not only didn't take the reps with the twos at right guard, he was moved to left guard, which strikes me as he's going to make the roster, and they want to basically get him reps at different places. Because the most important thing that you can get from the majority of your backup offensive lineman is what? Versatility. So Davis was now at left guard, second team. Chris Reed continues to be out, and he's been out about a week or so. So I don't know what his status is going to be, but he has definitely missed some probably very key time. But I'm calling it Declan Goff. Ed Ingram is your right guard. Race is over.
I love it. Good for Ed Ingram, man. I mean, we've been pining for any type of stability on the right guard spot. There's an amazing pecking order on the Score North YouTube channel where we go over all of the right guards that have been for the Vikings on the offensive line over the last 10 years, and it's a list, baby. It is a list. It is not great, and we're hoping for stability, and Ed Ingram might be that guy here. He looks like he's going to have the leg up over Chris Reed or whoever else would challenge him for that position. Good for Ed Ingram. Now we just got to figure out the center position, but this is one less chess piece you got to worry about.
I think it's going to be, for better or worse, to start the season, Garrett Bradbury.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be. There's nothing like. So it was Bradbury, and then I would say Schlottman as the 2A decks, okay. and Chris Reed 2B. Now, Chris Reed has been out for a week, and I thought Schlottman played pretty well against the Raiders on Sunday. But there has been zero indication so far that Garrett Bradbury is not the guy. Greg Joseph, the leg.
Oh, yeah.
Greg Joseph today. Hits from 45, 42, 34, 41, 50, and 43 yards. So he made, what's that one? Six. He made six kicks. He missed two from 45 and 48, but I'm going to explain it away quickly because I think it can be explained.
Okay.
Those were the two kicks that he missed where Ryan Wright, who was competing with punter and normal holder Jordan Berry, Ryan Wright replaced Jordan Berry to get some holding experience, and Joseph missed both. And this goes back to what we've discussed before. The continuity of the long snapper, the holder, and the kicker, incredibly important. So I believe when Jordan Berry was holding, Greg Joseph, 6 for 6. When he wasn't, two misses. Why the Vikings have a backup punter in training camp? If you know, call me. I have no idea. I was asking about that today. I'm like, what's the competition here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. But anyway, he got some, he did hold a couple of times, and Greg Joseph.
An offensive line question, and if it's spoiling your next point, then even better. It's a great segue here. I did see some people talking about Christian Darrisaw holding his own against, is it Nick Bosa, I believe, that's
Nick
on the
yep.
Nick Bosa on the Niners. There's so many dang Bosa, and they're all so good. I heard he was holding his own there.
Yeah, he's had a good camp. He's had a good camp. He has, I think, beyond the fact, the only disappointing thing about him since he was a first-round pick of the Vikings in April 2021 was the fact that he was coming off a college injury that he aggravated and I think had to have a procedure during training camp last year and missed the beginning of the season. But beyond that, Christian Darrisaw has played well, man. This offensive line, this is why I want them to get center right, because it feels like it with Ingram now taking hold at right guard, second-round pick, it really feels like the Vikings, for the first time in a long time, are on the right track to have an incredibly solid line aside from one position. But yeah, I think Darrisaw, and I know Brian O'Neill are both really good. I think this is going to work. I think the tackles, barring a person being hurt, I think the offensive tackles for the Vikings are settled for a while. And yes, Bosa looked good, but Darrisaw, I think it's very fair to say that Darrisaw was a fitting opponent for him, and I thought both played well.
Hell yeah.
Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to pour one out to Justin Jefferson.
Oh, wow, look at this.
What's the credo of this show, Declan? What's our motto?
We'd like to see the Vikings win a Super Bowl before we die.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know what? I got four of these that there are going to be available at U.S. Bank Stadium from our friends at Surly Brewing starting on Saturday, Before I Die. And you know what? Justin Jefferson deserves all four. Justin Jefferson, because if there is any chance the Vikings are going to do this before I die, and, you know, I'm 52, Justin Jefferson's going to have to play a key role. And our friends at Surly are smart enough to know that, you know what? No better motivation than this delicious beer. And of course, it's not just about this one beer. It's about Furious. It's about Logic Bomb. All of our favorites. Exactly right. There's a Furious right there. All of our favorites. You know where they come from? They come from our friends at Surly Brewing. Justin Jefferson now, to be fair, the 49ers' top two cornerbacks were out of today's joint practice. But my God, does he continue just to look special? This is as much fun watching a player in training camp as you can possibly have. It might not be Mossonian, but it's damn close at times, man. This guy continues in every way, shape, or form. He can be going against best players. He can be going against slappies. But in every way, Justin Jefferson stands out and impresses. And I cannot wait to see, starting against the Packers, what the Cousins-Jefferson sort of new age connection, because they've certainly had success together before, but what the new age connection in what they're going to be asked to do, I cannot wait to see this thing start to click, because if it clicks, I think it's going to be special.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. I mean, in an age where wide receivers are starting to blossom a lot more and ones are getting paid like crazy, and that's a dilemma that the Vikings will have to figure out by next spring, but not something to worry about right now at the moment. I'm excited to watch this dude ball, man. I mean, the Vikings have had a lot of good wide receivers who have been good work, man, right? You know, Adam Thielen worked his tail off to be where he is. You know, Stephon Diggs was inactive for a couple games his rookie year, but it was such a good route runner and turned into a very good wide receiver. This is awesome that Justin Jefferson has basically stepped into, like, superstardom mode basically from the jump. And, you know, poor old B.C. Johnson's career, I think, is going to be remembered as the guy who started over him for two games to start his rookie campaign, which probably wasn't really his fault exactly. So, I'm glad to see him still balling out, Justin Jefferson, that is. And I think he's going to have a big year, man. He's got even a bigger one on deck.
The incredible thing, too, with Justin is he catches everything. He catches deep, short routes, intermediate. It doesn't matter. He catches everything. All right, I haven't done too much defense, so I want to close joint practice observations, notes, mishmash from the defensive side of the football. The Vikings first team defense going against Trey Lance, who's going to be the 49ers' new starting quarterback. Za'Darius Smith. I told you in the notes that we did, I think it was my five keys to things I was curious to see. Za'Darius Smith, Daniil Hunter, who I don't think are going to play in any of the three preseason games, but I was curious to see against, you know, decent foes what they look like. Za'Darius Smith today. Now these aren't tackles to the ground, so keep that in mind. But he would have had two sacks, and one of them came against a pretty good player, 49ers left tackle Trent Williams, who is an outstanding, one of the best, left tackles to play this game. A guy like Christian Darrisaw is just hoping to reach his status at some point in time during the course of his career. But Za'Darius Smith has looked, in training camp practices to me, damn good. And the potential to get to Lance twice. And the other thing, and this is good news, Patrick Jones the second, also two potential sacks. And I'm telling you, I think this kid's going to be sneaky. Like, I think that there's, I think Patrick Jones is going to force the issue of when he starts by 2023.
And is Patrick Jones going to line up as a lineman? Or is it
outside linebacker? So he'll stand up.
He'll
stand up. Now, some of those guys, I have seen Hunter and Za'Darius Smith with their hand in the ground at times. So, like, Patrick Jones, same thing. But he officially, with the switch from Zim's defense to what Ed Donatell has brought in, Patrick Jones, along with Smith and with Hunter, have all now been reclassified as outside linebackers.
Right.
But Patrick Jones, I think, is going to, and it's going to be tough, but I think he's going to force the issue of, you got to find a way to play this kid. The more I see, he's not perfect, but I think I think he's the only third round pick from 2021 that Rick might have really hit on.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be terrified if I saw Za'Darius Smith and Daniil Hunter standing up ready to come after me as I'm just trying to hike the ball and not completely bleep down my leg. And then you add in guys like Patrick Jones, who could be, you're forgetting about, right? All the attention goes on these guys. And then, you know, that helped Ray Edwards' career. Like, everyone's like, what stopped Jared Allen? Oh, by the way, there's two guys in the middle in the Williams wall, and then also Ray Edwards is coming at you. Like, there's kind of an ifto de facto situation where if the defense are going to try to stop these two dudes, well, don't sleep on Patrick Jones getting after the QB either. So I think it's great. It's great that Ed Donatell's got this new system here on the meat and potatoes football of a new scheme.
Multiple. Okay. Last thing.
Yes, sir.
Last thing, sir, from the defense. The cornerbacks. Cam Dantzler, nice day. Nice day. Patrick Peterson. Damn, this is available on the Twitter. On the Twitter machine, it is Trey Lance throwing, I believe his name is Gray, the receiver for San Fran. It's a beautiful pass, but Trey Lance completely burns, and Gray does too, and it's speed, and this is what's intriguing about it. Patrick Peterson on a deep ball. This is intriguing because of this. Patrick Peterson's very, very smart. He is a he is a former outstanding player who can still get by and certainly brings knowledge and a veteran presence. But that being said, where I get a little bit concerned is there are a lot of guys in this league now with speed to burn, and Patrick Peterson does not have speed to burn. And if you go watch this play, this is probably my biggest concern about, like, if he loses one more step, you might be in trouble. Like, this is where you have to say, do we have, just in case, do we have somebody at corner, a young corner, set to go? Because that play is very much how this league works right now. And Patrick Peterson, I don't think there's a lot that you can do to make up for it. Because if you try and grab the guy or bump him, it's going to draw a flag. So that's where this gets a little bit dicey with him. Because if any of the speed that he still had in 2021 is gone now, it could be difficult with good quarterbacks.
Right. Yeah. He's a veteran guy and you know, not, I don't know if he's a bound for Canton, but he certainly has a case of as one of the better cornerbacks of the last decade in the 2010s, but isn't the player he used to be, but still a very viable player and probably more valuable maybe off the field than on it. But I just hope that Patrick Peterson kind of still fits in here, right? Like, he's not a liability, doesn't turn into someone that's bad. And if Cam Dantzler can be that person that steps up, like we've all kind of been asking him to do since his rookie season,
right?
Well, that's good. Cause as we talked about in the last episode of Purple Daily, you know, that cornerback position is their weakest position of the brood. So they can't really afford to have a weak pass rush, because I don't think those defensive backs, even with Cam Dantzler taking a step forward, I don't think those defensive backs are going to be shutting down opposing wide receivers by any means.
All right. I'm exhausted.
You
That's
are.
All I got. I'm back tomorrow, 10 okay. to noon again. Okay. But yeah, I am tuckered out. I'm done here. My work is done. My notebook is cleaned out. My computer or my phone cleaned out. I got nothing else for you. I've given everything I can possibly give, Declan Goff.
Well, that's kind of how I feel when I step off after playing 18 holes. You know, I need a nap after I play 18. And guys like Patrick Peterson, you know, he probably doesn't need a nap. And that's, you know, that's a different story. I'm not here to talk about that necessarily. That's for like Feedback Friday or another statement on a Monday. But when I do go golf and I go to the Meadows at Mystic Lake, which is an award-winning 18-hole public golf course, great GPS system on the carts. You know, we're winding down on summer here, but you know what? It's still nice out. You still got another 6 to 7 weeks of golf season left here in Minnesota. So book your tee time now. GolfTheMeadows.com to learn more. A full-service golf shop, too. I can't stand when I go to check in for my tee time and maybe need a sleeve of balls, and there's only like three options available, and there's plenty of apparel there at the Meadows at Mystic Lake. They have a full-service golf shop. Book your tee time right now. GolfTheMeadows.com to learn more. Judd writing it down right now. GolfTheMeadows.com to learn more.
All right.
Just so you need to rest. That's it.
Yeah, I'm tuckered out.
Okay.
Phil's back at some point soon.
I need some
oxygen.
I want you to nurse yourself assertively and just kind of rock yourself to sleep a little bit.
Before I die, don't forget Saturday at the stadium if you're going.
Right. Pick one up.
I'm just going to park those there.
Hit the subscribe button. Daily Minnesota Vikings Entertainment. Judd will be out there all week. Yes, and the Vikings play the 49ers at US Bank Stadium on Saturday. This has been Purple Daily, where we just want to see the Vikings win a Super Bowl before we die.